Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Unscripted. I am Zanetta Chunik Empower, and today I have someone new. Of course, there's always someone new here. I would love to get someone back, but I have someone new today. I have Rich Potter. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. So I'm going to give Rich a chance to speak more about himself and his business, and we'll get into it on today's episode.
Awesome. Thanks. Again, thanks for having me. My name is Rich Potter. I am a franchise consultant. I run a company called Franchise Heroes. And, I help people help guide them through the process of identifying and finding the right business for them. I represent 500 plus franchise concepts across 37 different industries. Some of it's semi-passive, some of it's owner-operated, some of it's brick and mortar, some of it's home-based. So a lot of different opportunities. There's like 8,000 franchises out there. So trying to find the right one for yourself on your own can be very difficult. So I kind of help people wade through all that and find the right match for them. So I'm also a business owner. I own a couple of businesses. I own a franchise. So I've been fully self-employed for about 8 years and absolutely love it. Wouldn't have it any other way. So again, thanks for having me here.
No problem. So the franchise world can be a massive industry, especially for new business owners looking to become a franchise owner. What is it that your business answers for these people who are new to the industry? How do you help solve their problems?
Yeah, so I think it answers a few things. One, it answers like, is franchising the right thing for me, right? Like not everybody's fit to own and operate a franchise. Like some people are just better being employees. Some people are better doing a startup. But franchises for a lot of people is the right way to go just because of the support and the trainings and everything that comes along with it, right? So that's first and foremost, is franchising right for me? We'll look at budget, we'll look at personality types, we'll look at your experience, stuff like that, right? A lot of people also think that chasing that hot trend is what they should do, right? Like when everyone was buying the crumble cookies, right? So I help wade through that too. Like, are we following trends? Are we following passions? Are we just, you think franchising is food and beverage, so you want to open up a McDonald's or a Subway. Like, that's not always the right thing for people. So I help kind of cut through that noise. We kind of step back. We look at where your strengths are. We look at where you would succeed. We even take a science-backed assessment. It's similar to like a DISC profile, but it's an entrepreneurial assessment that you take that I'll evaluate right at the front end, just to see what types of businesses you fit well in, what types of systems are. Should we look at more established systems that have 100 plus franchisees? Are you more entrepreneurial minded where you would fit better in a system that's just emerging and only has, maybe doesn't have any franchisees yet, maybe it has 10, right? So I really help kind of cut through that noise with my research and the tools that I have at my disposal to help you find your ideal match. At the end of the day, we don't want that friction of, crap, I bought the wrong business. I bought the wrong operating type of model for me. And so my goal is, one, to find you a business that you're going to succeed in, that you're going to naturally fit into. But we're also making sure that it's the right industry, it's the right model, it's the right everything.
Nice. I think the survey that you just described is really cool. I've gotten random inboxes on LinkedIn about being a franchise owner. And again, that single outreach approach, whether someone approaches you or an individual is looking to learn more about a franchise, there's obviously nuance there that is good to know up front instead of investing heavily in learning the hard way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I bought a franchise, a gym in 2019, and it wasn't a good fit for me, right? So like I struggled. The support wasn't great. The training wasn't great. I just bought it on my own. I didn't go through a broker. I didn't know brokers existed back then. And so for me, it wasn't a good match. And I ended up selling it within 9 months of purchasing it because it didn't fit well into my life. But now having like gone through the training and helping people through the process. You know, I bought another franchise about 6 months ago with my brother, and it's a much better fit. So you can definitely tell when you buy the wrong business. It's got to fit your skills and your personality and the type of lifestyle you want to create around a business.
What are some misconceptions that you somewhat myth bust with your business? I think that there can be a lot of misunderstandings about what franchise ownership is all about. So can you tell us a little bit more about those conversations?
Yeah. So I think probably the biggest one with franchising, people just think franchises are food and beverage, right? You think franchising, you think McDonald's, you think Subway, you think that you should buy those large brands. And really, franchising, for one, is a lot more than food and beverage. There's actually a lot more franchises outside of food and beverage than there are in food and beverage. And also those big popular ones, the McDonald's, the Subways, I keep referring to those, they don't make very much money. They're not really that great, right? It's going to cost you $2 million to buy a McDonald's. You'll be lucky if you net $80,000, $90,000 a year on something like that. Right. I can show you a franchise that's $150,000, $200,000, and you're going to make a lot more than you would with a McDonald's. Right. So that is probably the first one. Home services, senior care, they're bigger opportunities than food and beverage. Right. So that I think is the biggest misconception. I think also there's so many models out there that you can find that you've got semi-passive, right? So if you're a person that wants to keep their job and you're good at managing people, you can find franchises that will allow you to keep your job, hire a good manager, good operator, and they can run most of the day-to-day for you while you oversee them. There's also businesses that are, I mean, most of them are going to be owner-operated. The franchise is going to want you to get in there. And you see the most success when people actually dedicate full-time and just jump all in, right? So, another misconception is maybe just the amount of money it takes to buy a franchise. You don't need $500,000 to start a lot of great franchises. There's a lot of really good ones that you can start for under 200,000. Mm-hmm. There's even some you can start for under $100,000, and you can replace your really good corporate income within a year or two on a $100,000-$200,000 investment. You don't need to go all in and buy, you know, $500,000 food and beverage.
Awesome. You mentioned that you purchased your first franchise in 2019.
I did.
What led you to getting into this business? It's been about 7 years. Oh my gosh, 2019.
It's been a little bit. Yeah, it just kind of snuck up on us. I actually started operating businesses. So I was a sales guy out of college and worked a sales job for about 12 years and slowly started building a couple of side businesses as I was doing that. I started an e-commerce business and an event business. And then it was early 2019 that my income from those two businesses finally overcame what I was making in my job. So I quit my job and went full-time on those two businesses. And then in my town, a local small boutique fitness, Snap Fitness, went up for sale. And so I bought it at that time, early 2019, as a resale. So for me, there wasn't a ton of research on franchising or getting into the right gym or whatever. It was, this one's for sale. It looked like a great deal, and I jumped in. So like I said, it was a decent business. It just wasn't a good fit for what I was trying to do with my life. And, you know, I thought I love fitness. I'll be a great gym owner. And it wasn't really the case. And so there was just a lot of friction. So I put it up for sale by the end of the year. I got super lucky and sold it late 2019 amidst the whole COVID era of gym ownership. So that was very fortunate for us. But yeah, that was kind of my experience. My first dip into franchising, you know, I really wish I would have consulted a consultant and taken that assessment and realized that, you know, buying a gym probably wasn't a good fit for me.
But so now that, well, you've learned what you needed to know. So it wasn't really an L. as far as a loss, but it was a learning experience, right? Like you really seem to have leveled up since then, and now being able to help other people avoid those same mistakes.
Yeah. Yep. So I kind of refocused on my e-commerce business at that point, started coaching and consulting in the e-commerce space. And that led me to connecting with a few people. One, William Huffine, who is the president of the brokerage that I belong to now. I was kind of seeing what he was doing in the franchising space. And at the time, like all I loved helping people start businesses, but all I had was e-commerce. All I knew was like selling on Amazon and eBay. And when I connected with him, just the realization that that I could help people find the right business and not just e-commerce. So I learned a little bit about that and jumped in. And of course, as is the occupational hazard that we hear about when you start becoming a franchise consultant, you end up being a franchise owner eventually. And so about 6 months ago, my brother and I purchased another franchise up in the Salt Lake area where he lives. And now we're in the middle of trying to build that out.
Now, for anyone who is looking to expand their portfolio and may not have yet considered being a franchise owner, what personality type or persona have you noticed is actually, you know, a hidden gem? Like, oh yeah, this would be perfect for you. What does that look like for anyone who is considering and could see themselves being a franchise owner?
Are you asking like the type of person? I've actually found that veterans make incredible franchise owners, for one, right? So I think now the stat is something like 1 in 7 franchise owners are veterans. So franchisors love veterans because they're used to operating within a system with following guidelines, rules, and that's the way a franchise is. If you follow the playbook, you're going to be successful. If you're well capitalized, if you have the right amount of money, and if you follow the playbook, it's going to work, right? So veterans are incredible. And then the second, or probably the most common type of client that I work with are typically executives that are either burnt out, you know, very successful in their career. They've made other people a lot of money and they're ready to make themselves a lot of money, right? So they're ready to step away or in some cases add another investment to their portfolio to buy a passive franchise. It's probably the two most common types of people that I work with.
So I see there's an important characteristic of having innate leadership skills, because there's learned leadership skills that you can gain by career progression, but executive leaders, veterans have an ingrained leadership skill that allows for them to step outside of the business, be more objective, and figure out how to grow and scale in a trusted system. So it sounds like that transferable skill itself lends it to be the biggest success factor for a franchise owner. You know, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship, a lot of people just want something plug and play, like, oh, I'm on the beach and the money just comes to me, and newsflash, buddy, doesn't always work like that.
No, but you can get there. You know, like my e-commerce business is now 12 years old. I have almost nothing to do with it on the day-to-day. My office manager runs it all. He runs a staff of 5. I sit here at the warehouse every day in case they need me, but it is 100%, 99% passive for me at this point. Right. And a lot of these franchises are set up to where you need to get in and you need to work your butt off for the first year or two. But once you learn the business, once you build out systems, once you build out a team, you know, the team can kind of run the business for you. And then you can go sit on the beach and rely on that office manager or your general manager to kind of do the bulk of it.
Getting that work in the beginning is key. You can't skip steps in any business. So you could be on the beach, or you're going to be on the phone with a Zoom background on, because we still need you. We still need you to get to that space. All right. So are you looking to personally expand your business as a broker, or are you looking to buy more franchises? What are you doing these days?
Yeah, right now I'm pretty content with the one franchise I have. We only bought it 6 months ago, so we spent like the first probably 3 months of just setting up the business and training. And so we're only 3 months post-launch. So we still have a lot of work to do to get that business to be profitable and get it to where we want. So I don't see myself buying anything else for the next couple of years. But on the franchise consulting side, you know, I'm always happy to help more people. You know, I typically help 15 to 20 people a year, find the right franchise, and, you know, I'm could always help more. But it's where I am with that.
Where do you see the future of brick and mortar going? Are more companies looking to extend their operations into having more franchise opportunities? What is the climate around that right now from a retail perspective, considering the economic state that we're in?
Yeah, great question. I typically, at least with my clients and the franchises I like, I stay away from a lot of brick and mortar concepts in a lot of scenarios for a lot of the same reasons. You know, you've got Amazon and TikTok shop and like all the retail type stuff is really hard to do. Then you have, you know, trying to do a food and beverage is really hard. Margins are really slim. There's so much competition. With some of the models in senior care and home services and staffing, it's so lean. And I think in a lot of ways, COVID changed a lot of things with us not necessarily needing a brick and mortar or an office. A lot of these businesses can be run home-based. Mm-hmm. So your overhead's low. You can get a return on your investment a lot faster. You can get profitable a lot faster. So when it fits, I typically try to lead my clients towards something that's going to be a lower overhead model. And maybe it is in light industrial, right? But it's not like a full retail build out. So there's still great opportunities there, but it just has to be the right person. They have to be well capitalized. They have to know what they're getting into with the larger investment. But there's so much opportunity that is mobile, requires a truck or a van. You know, you need a place to park the van. Mm-hmm. A lot of the businesses can now be run from home. You can run a team from home. So I really like the home base, the mobile stuff over like brick and mortar.
And it sounds like there's a little AI proof when it comes to being a franchise owner. Of course, your operations can be further optimized with AI, but there's a lot of pivots happening in industries that are shrinking because technology has somewhat eradicated certain skill sets. So the professional world is all scrambling to figure out, how do I continue to be an earner? And that can be in the franchise space because the thought economy is still very much important across every industry, AI or not.
Yeah, for sure. We're seeing a lot of tech professionals move into franchising. You know, a lot of those jobs are being replaced. And so we see a lot of them come in. We're seeing AI pop up everywhere, but it's really like in the franchise world, it's just helping with efficiencies. But, you know, I think we're a long, long ways out from AI replacing your plumber and your HVAC technician and even like the home service care provider with senior care. And a lot of that stuff, I think, is fairly AI proof. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's really good opportunities in there to move into an industry where you're not going to be disrupted as much by AI.
Yep. My grandmother had Alzheimer's, and as we're talking, we had a home health care company that would come in and provide services. And I just was thinking, what if our home care nurse, I said, what if our nurse was a robot? That would be really weird. I wouldn't want a robot handling my grandmother.
No, I mean, they could provide the mechanics of a lot of the stuff, yeah, right? But not that personal touch, right? And that's a lot of what they want. They mm-hmm. want to be able to talk to someone. You know, they need a care provider, but they need a personal touch of a personality and not a robot doing that stuff.
The companionship was a large part of her work. And I'm a marketer, so I'm like, she comes over and watches TV with you. But it was a part of the whole care experience. So that makes a whole lot of sense. So, Rich, you are an Arizona State guy. So I'm a Michigan State gal. So I also know that as an owner yourself, you probably read. Do you have any top books, your top three books on any topic that you would like to share with our, with me personally, and anyone who's listening that wants to add to that?
So can I use foul language? You good? Your audience good with that?
We're all adults here.
Dude, I one of my favorite books is drawn a blank. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I felt like that was coming with the disclaimer.
One of the best books I've ever read. Love it. Just kind of talks about, you know, caring and putting your energy into the right things, right? Mm-hmm. And not putting your energy in the wrong things and being focused on the wrong things. So I really like that book. One of my favorites. I'm actually reading another book right now called Sell It Like Surratt. He's a real estate professional in New York, I believe. One of the top real estate agents in the country, but definitely in New York itself, kind of came out of nowhere. The book's pretty interesting, but it goes into a lot of like selling philosophies and stuff like that. So, those are the top two that I can think of right now. 10X was a good book. I go back and forth on how I feel about Grant sometimes, but the book itself was great. 10X just had that idea of, you know, reaching higher, 10Xing your effort, 10Xing your results. It was a great book as well.
I really like 10X as well. As you mentioned, just growing your mind to, I actually can do a little bit more. Let me press this a little bit further and then see where I land from there. So I did enjoy reading 10X as well. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, before we get on out of here, tell us where we can find you online or LinkedIn. How can we keep up with the franchise world from your perspective?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn probably more than anything else. So Rich Potter, LinkedIn, pretty easy to find there, the franchise consultant. I'm also, you can find me, my website, franchiseheroes.co. Mm-hmm. And then my email is a little bit different because I belong to a brokerage called the Quantum Franchise Group. So the email is rich@quantumfranchisegroup.com.
Awesome.
LinkedIn or my website, Franchise Heroes, two best places, I think.
All right. Well, this has been wonderful. I think I might get me a franchise in the future based on this conversation leaders got to do. Sometimes you got to get off the corporate world and just pivot. And so I've been inspired to even just read my LinkedIn messages a little bit more, because I'm telling you, they are asking in my email and I'm like, hold on, I'm not ready, but maybe I am. So I will come to you when that time arrives, Rich. This was awesome. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us and your favorite books.
Yes. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, this was an episode of Unscripted. This is Zanetta Chunikin Power. And until next time.